say that to speak about another friend that somehow also lived some time ago. And like, it's not that I want to speak about him. I just want to use some of his inspirations and some of his words, because the way they are felt, experienced and written seems like that they can be of value for us. So it's not like I want to promote him, but just somehow use his wisdom so that we may kind of feel that. He is Saint John of the Cross. He lived a few centuries ago in Spain. So I'm lucky enough to be able to read his poems in Spanish, which over the years I discovered that actually this is a real gift, because the translations are, I would say, like, at least pathetic. Like, normally. And, you know, I can say that because I know the Spanish, so, and then I guess that whatever I read, you know, that from a language that I don't know, then I just feel like, who knows what real writing was, you know. Like, if my experience is this, I can say, ah, so why do I have to trust any other translation from any other language, you know? When is about something like so experiential and so subtle, you know, it's almost impossible to find words if you don't dig or you don't fish the words from that same place, you know. Like, it's almost impossible. We can guess, we can, you know, somehow, approximately, but we cannot really fully express. In that beautiful night, he says, in secret, that no one was seeing me, and I was seeing no one and nothing, without any other light or guidance but the one that was burning in my heart. Just only reading different parts of different poetries that he wrote, and basically that sentence comes after saying, once I was totally calm, once I was at peace, once there was no more fight, more like wanting to get something, then I found myself in this place where I could not see anything. It's not like I was there and then I knew everything, like light came and I knew everything. Then I found myself in this place where it felt like I was not able to see anything. I was not able to get anything out of it. You know, I was not able to make theories out of it or fish somehow words of wisdom, you know, out of it. Just a place that where I could not see anything, and where no one was seeing me, and where there was like nothing, like was not like, how you say, like, was not like amazing lights coming on, just this clear light burning in my heart, nothing else. No, nothing spectacular, you know, nothing, wow. So only when we come to this calm place, only when we find rest, the true movement can start happening. Before that, we are just rushing somewhere. We are just like making up some guess in our mind and then rushing to get to that guess, you know, to that pure fantasy, like pure imagination, you know. And we really rush to get there, as if we really cannot see that place where we want to get is a fog, is kind of a cloud, you know, that if you have been in the mountains, like when from here we watch at the clouds, they really feel solid, you know. They have shape, and it feels like you can at least touch like this, you know. You know, like some. But actually, if you are in the mountains, and then somehow you cross the clouds, like you can, like there is nothing there. Like, you cannot really touch the clouds. Like, they are nothing, you know. They dissolve as you pass. So same with this wanting to get there. That there never arrives because it's like cloud dissolving. And we cannot really drink that place. Only from this place of rest, our need for confirmation or for matching my experience with some other person's experience or some teacher or some guru or someone that brought it in a book. Only when we find this rest, then all this need for confirmation also can stop, can relax. And it seems like only when we can stop and relax, then somehow we are able to see this light. Very, very tender. You know, at night, if you put little light, if you light a candle, you really have to take care, especially in the beginning. Otherwise, the wind, like, just blows it. So this sense, you know, only when in a very calm night when everything is at rest, at peace, then this little light of the heart can start kind of sticking out its nose, you know, like, hello, like this. And it comes this, like, sticking, like this nose, like, sticking out, hello, and then he's saying, but actually, this is so powerful. He's saying, but actually, like, that little light made my whole heart be burning, like, and really guide me, really brought me somewhere. You know, it's not only, you know, little thing, but just starts by little thing, but then it becomes a light. When we don't need this confirmation, when we don't need to copy anyone, it feels like only then this light has a chance. Otherwise, we are too busy trying to kind of express what we know and trying to match with someone and also trying to copy somebody else. We are too busy. He's saying, this light was guiding me. And this light was more brighter than the light in the middle of the day, than the sun in the middle of the day. So from this tiny nose sticking out to this bright sun in India in the middle of the day in May. And once you feel this light, very soft and very powerful, then it's like you know it, you know, like, once you feel, you know that it's there, you know. And this sometimes is good news, like, and sometimes is, we say putada, no? Like, we say, oh, a bad joke, you know. Because once we know, you know. Like, it's not like, up to then, we can say, ah, because I don't know. I can be in or be out, you know. But once you know, somehow you don't have this choice anymore. You cannot say, ah, I can be in or out. Like, once you know, like, you know. You only can be in, you know. Like, there is no play around. Like, you know, once you know this is red. You can try, like we keep on trying as if this is blue, but somehow this is red. This light that can be experienced as such a powerful thing can only become powerful if, when it starts, as I was saying, like, we really take care of it, you know. And, for example, I have heard, like, many of you saying, like, I feel something here, you know. I feel something here. And somehow, many times when people say that, like we are speaking in normal, like, tone of voice, and then suddenly we get quiet, you know, like we get, like, we start whispering, I feel something here. Like, as if, you know, we are somehow shy to say that we discovered a place here, like something here, like some little gnomo or something here, you know, that is whispering. And it feels to me that this is very good news, you know, when we say, I feel something, or I'm touching something that seems to me a new place, and I don't know exactly what that is. That is, you know, that is the beginning of a big fire. And that is important that we feed it, we take care of it. And that whispers, and it's important to remember that somehow only whispers. That doesn't scream, kind of. I stayed. And I forgot about myself. I lied or dressed on the arms of my beloved. And everything ceased. Everything ceased. And I let go.
This word ceased or ceased? Stopped?
Yeah.
Or looking?
How you see?
Ceased.
Ceased is? Ceased. Stopped. Everything stopped. So I stayed in that place. I forgot. I rested on the arms of my beloved. Everything stopped. And I let go. Or actually, let go happened. Which is same but different. I stayed there, in that place, with that little light whispering. I didn't say, ah, good, little light, you are here. Wait here, I'm going to have a coffee, and then I will come back. He's saying, I just stayed there. And I forgot. I forgot how many hours I stayed there. With that light. In love with that light. Spending time with that light. Resting with that light. With that whisper. With that inner voice. I slept. I fully rested in the arms of my beloved. Or in other ways, I forgot about trying to find something there. I forgot about trying to get somewhere. I realized maybe this is not my business anymore. Maybe there is something called life that have more power than my own power to get there. Something that can bring me something that I can trust. That I can give my authority to, my fears. Then everything stopped. And I let go. Usually when everything stops, we tend to freak out. We tend to want some sign of aliveness, of I'm still here. We want to make sure that I'm still here sitting this way, and this is a meditation course, and you know, my name is, and my age. But he allowed this everything stopping to be. Somehow he allowed to not to be meditating anymore and still be there. Somehow he stopped using force. To keep on going. He stopped using force, and movement still was happening. Some process was going on at the same time, still. Without any force, without any sense of pushing. It feels that when we come into that, I stayed and I forgot, finally, about how many hours. It feels that as if then we go into another universe. And the image that comes to me is when, you know, sometimes in TV they put this. Someone makes a film of inside the flower, you know. Sometimes this National Geographic. Some program like this. And it feels like suddenly we are in this known world, somehow. We know, like, how a tree will look like, you know. We accept from this form to this other form and all these different possibilities of forms. But we know, you know, we won't get confused and say, ah, this is a cow, and it is a tree, you know, like, usually, you know. But when we go into this, where everything stops, it just feels like everything stops, and we get into another universe that was totally unknown, that is totally unknown to us. And it's as if we go into the inside of a flower, which we had never seen before, because we don't have this kind of eyes to go inside. And there, everything is about texture and color and very, very subtle way of different light touching this way or this other way. It's very, very, very subtle. Says, I enter who knows what, who knows where, and I stay there without knowing, and that stay and that fact of staying there without knowing transcended all the sciences. So I entered who knows what, who knows where, and I stayed without knowing where I was, without knowing what that was. And at the same time, that staying there was transcending all the science. So was more wise than any science in the world, like any form of knowledge existent in the world. And he says, like, I have no clue what was that. I can only say that was higher than any other thing I had ever experienced before. That place was more wise than the wiser thing I could ever be in touch with. And still he stayed. Usually, like, if we don't know where we are, and there is no guarantee that at some point I will know where I am, then usually we say, okay, so then I better go out of this place. But he stayed. And that simple stay there somehow brought some fruit. Then he says, I cannot escape anymore. I cannot escape you anymore. I cannot make as if I don't see you anymore. Then he says, so please finish with me. If you want. But if you want, like, really, in this text, it doesn't sound really, if you want, you know. I leave it to you. It really feels like I cannot escape more. I cannot avoid you anymore. So please finish with me. Like, break that veil that is between you and me. Break it. And he is not, you know, he is a poet, so tries to be sweet, but you can feel like it's really like as if he's screaming to God, you know. Like, so he tries, but you see, tricky. Right. It's kind of saying, look, God, we are in this situation. There is something going on between you and me. Okay, I was looking for you. But then, you came. You came. So now, don't go away. Now, I was looking for you, then you came, so now you stay. I was looking for you, and as I feel, it's like, I was looking for you, but actually, I didn't totally want you to come, you know? I was somehow really looking for you, but, you know, because I was looking for you because I was not expecting you to come, you know? Somehow, this is how we live, you know? You know. Ah, it's serious. You know. And then you come, and it's like, great. And then you go. And now I'm left, like, totally on the ground. I'm left, like, in a situation which is much worse than before your first visit, you know. So he's saying, please don't play with that, you know. Since you show your face to me, now please, like, finish this game and cut the veil that is between you and me. In a way saying, now that I know that I cannot go back to my old way of living, then show me the new way. And it really feels unbearable, this place in between. I cannot go back to what is old. And yet, I have no clue how to keep on working, how to fully live there 24 hours a day. And it feels that many times when we have an experience or an experience of falling into that place of certainty or like some freshness, like, you know, for a while, few hours, we are grateful for that. You know, somehow we know somehow that we were genuinely asking for that. So, like, sooner or later, we fall into that place. And then, for a few hours, we are grateful for that. You know, wow, I was blissed, you know, like, so nice, you know, this expansion, like, all this. But, like, very soon, like, first we are grateful, but very soon, we start to be frustrated, like, you know, a little too soon to sometimes, you know. We start to be frustrated because we see that that which was shown to us suddenly decides to go. And once you have seen, you cannot live without that. So then we are trapped. So then, even sometimes we even get angry at ourselves because we don't find our ability to go back to that place. And then sometimes the next 20 retreats we assist becomes this wanting to get there. And there is not only, let's say, a sweet intuition of maybe there is something there, but it becomes a little like there, which I know because I got there and has this shape and that color and that taste. So it feels important to remember that it's possible to be grateful. For that. It's possible to go in touch, like, go to be in touch with that feeling that was in that experience, with that texture that was in that experience. So that that may lead you some other similar place. But this is very, very subtle. And we wish, because this is our experience in life, you know, once, somehow, like, if we walk through the mountain, like, the first time will be difficult to find the path from here to the top of the mountain. Like, we will need to make effort to find the path. like we need to really try to find a path, you know. And somehow like once we find the path, then somehow we know the path. And then we can go every day. And I then say, come with me because I know the path, you know. Just let's go to the mountain, I know the path. Chelo, you know. But somehow this place doesn't work like that. Like you go one time to the mountain, and then your mind thinks, because I went one time to the mountain, then I must remember the path, you know. But then we turn in again to try to go to the mountain, and somehow like all memory of path is like just, it's not there anymore, you know. And this we could say, like some people would say, this is terrible. Because then you have to find the path every time. And some people would say, like, this is beautiful. Because then you have the chance to find the path every time. And it's possible to develop a sense of, very, very subtle sense of being able to find the path in the darkness, just by spending time there. The same as when we are in a room, in a dark room. And, well, in India, you know, it happens every other day, that we are doing something happily in the room, you know, anything, anytime. And suddenly, the light goes. And first is like, almost like, I'm not going to say the word, but it's like, so it's like just now that, you know, I'm with two glasses of chai and like just like the messiest time it could happen, you know. And somehow we all have this experience that if we try to keep on walking to wherever I was going with these two full glasses of chai, there is a 100% possibility that it will spill, you know. It will just, you know, we won't make it, kind of. But there is a chance if we just wait, you know, like, just little wait, not much, just little wait. And somehow, after very little time, we are able to see something. We have a sense of, yes, I am in this room and this is the direction, you know. The eyes actually are able to see after a while. So, like, exactly the same is when we turn in. It really feels, when we turn in, it really feels that I don't find a way, you know. I have nothing to grasp, you know, like to catch, you know. But if we just allow ourselves to be there, to wait there, somehow, like, something, like, shows us, you know, like. And then next time, again. And always again. Like, there is the possibility of developing this sense of finding a way. But it doesn't seem that is always the same way. So what I'm saying is, like, it doesn't work by memory of how I got there, but more by a much more subtle feeling of a sense of, you know, almost working with something in the eyes that you kind of almost have a sense of where you are going, but you don't really know. And every time is a different way. And this is beautiful. So, somehow it feels that at some point we have to fall in love with the process itself. Like instead of wanting to get rid of the process and get there, we have to, it's not that we have to, like somehow it happens that it needs to happen, that we just fall in love with the process itself, with this knowing and not knowing, and with these times where we really feel something is deepening, and times where it really seems that we are thrown up of the paradise and we don't know the address to go back. I have a friend who is a nun. Sounds boring because of my friends, but I have many other friends also. But this like, somehow, this friend is also a nun, you know. Like, Catholic nun, you know. And I just admire her because, and I was lucky enough to see her again this last summer, almost by accident, but great. And, you know, like she just sings and sings and sings, like, is as if, you know, like, I went to see her, and I got there, and very nice to see each other. We spent, like, time together in her hermitage, when I was little smaller than now. And, you know, I got her and got there, and then it's like, great! I was just singing. Great, let's go sing, you know. And then she would start singing, and, you know, like, 5 hours later, I would be, like, so hungry. And, and she would be, like, somewhere, like, ecstasy, you know, like, singing, you know. And then, you know, at some point we eat something. And then after lunch, like, so what do you feel like doing, Chula? She's like, I don't know, we can go for a walk. Or, like, or we can sing. Okay, also we can sing. And, you know, she has this sitar, like, and it's so amazing, actually, like, I'm laughing, but, you know, really, the first 4 hours is amazing. After that, like, I'm hungry, you know, what to do. And so, so amazing how she plays. But, you know, like, I don't feel in her a sense of rushing anywhere, you know, a sense of even, like, going somewhere with this so-called spiritual practice, you know. It's almost as if she gets somewhere and that means to stop singing, that would be terrible news for her. So it's almost as if there is nowhere to get. There is only this amazing joy of being able to sing and sing and sing to this beloved. You know, and there is nothing else that can bring that much joy to her. And she expresses that in such a way that it really breaks, you know, like, the mind of everyone who gets there, you know. When she speaks about it, when she says, you know, Every day I wake up at 3 o'clock or around and go there and just sing and play the sitar. I wonder if it's possible for us to forget about counting the hours of meditation. You know, to stop counting how many meditation retreats I will need before getting to that point that Buddha speaks of, and then it just seems so complicated. Meanwhile, the sun is going down and the light is amazing. What else we want to do? So this way of, this other way of moving, this movement that can only happen when there is rest, it feels that doesn't include any decision of how I will do it or what will be my practice or how many hours I will dedicate to that. It just feels like much more kind of a silent agreement with the heart to just, like almost like an agreement that happens without us signing anywhere, you know. Just, we decide somehow to be loyal to the heart, and somehow heart decides to take us all the way. In order to come to this place of rest, St. John says, a lot of flying was needed. Was needed to fly somewhere from where I could not even see myself. I could not even keep track of myself. And he says, even though this flying, so in other words, even though this, let's say, commitment to meditation and commitment to just keep on going no matter what and keep on again and again allowing yourself falling into that place of deep rest. So even though I was fully committed to that, I was fully living for that, and I did all that was in my hands to keep on going that direction, he says, still, it was somehow at some point another help came in and took me. So the total need of this movement towards, this soft movement towards, this clear yes to life. And everything that is in our hands to keep on with that, day by day, hour by hour. And he says, but at the same time, somehow, without this help coming, I would not have gotten anywhere. So what is this help coming? What is that which can bring us, make us this, somehow this? It's not that it brings us, but it lets us do everything we can, and then takes our hand and say, okay, now the last jump. Let's do it together. Is something else that we can be open to, even if we don't have a name for it. It doesn't need to have a name. We don't need to call it Krishna or Jesus or whoever else is around. But just to be open to the possibility of this something else asking for our hand to go, to uplift us. He says so many hours of flying high had been needed. So many. So much time had been needed. Like, I needed to spend so much time in that other realm. In that place where I could not see myself. But I was lost somewhere. Like, I could not get engaged with so many hours of flying high. And then the hand. There is a poem that just came today. This poem came walking today in this ashram. And it's from a friend called, like, Saint Dolphinji. And I will try my best, but please don't laugh. Don't laugh much. I mean, little it's okay, but not too much. He says, I am in love with this life. You see? I am in love with this life I am living now, so alone, so passionate, meditating and playing, here, at the trailheads of the deep. I was born to this. Everything to now has been preparation to come to the forest on the mountain, and light all oil lamps in this temple of the deep. Yeah, it says of the deep. I am in love with this life I'm living now. So alone. So passionate. Meditating and playing. Here, at the trailheads of the deep. I was born to this. Everything to now has been preparation to come to the forest on the mountain and light oil lamps in this temple of the deep. in love with this life, and then so alone and so passionate. Everything to now has been preparation to come. Somehow it feels that funny enough, we have to fly high. So that we can be in love with this everyday life. And it feels to me like somehow a paradox. This exists in me? Like somehow a paradox that we are born, you know, we born here in this earth somehow. And then we learn that this is called ball. And somehow then we have to go through a process that makes us to call this God. Everything, ultimate, huge. So that we can come back to call this ball. And you know, like, when we learn that this is a ball, the ball that we learn, the word, is the same word that we will use after all this way around, you know. Yeah, ball and then God and then ball. So, like, why to go all this way, you know. But, you know, like, the first ball is just metal, you know, like, it's just ball, you know. And the second ball is real ball, you know. It contains everything. But to me still the most beautiful thing is that we don't even have to be stuck calling it God, you know. It can simply come back to be a ball. And you know, it's really stupid to go that big way around and at the same time, like, it's the only thing it makes sense in life, you know. To go, like, all the way around and if needed, even more around so that this ball can be a real ball. So that we can, as Dolphin says, like simply live here in the forest on the mountain and light lamps. And that's enough. And that's amazing. Quiet for a while.